Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Somebody hurt me too deep. Somebody sit in my chair and ruin my sleep and make me aware of being alive. Make me alive. Somebody need me to. Somebody know me too well. Somebody pull me up short and put me through hell and give me support for being alive. Make me alive.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 602. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
Hello, Mitchell Fain.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. You're wearing your red little... your red little fleecy sweatshirt zip up in honor of World AIDS Day with your red ribbon.
Red,
you're just wrapped up in it. It's
I'm
a red bow.
I was wearing a red hat.
Yeah.
I must have left it upstairs.
It's a great way to not only kick off the holiday season with your little green shirt.
Yeah, I have
too.
A green shirt underneath as well.
Yes. See, Santa Land is starting to
infuse
yeah. and rub off on you.
Yes.
How's the show going?
It's going gangbusters. It's crazy. I mean. We opened a couple of weeks ago, you know, before Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. to just sort of see, like, let's get open. Mm-hmm. And we sold out that first weekend, sold out the Thanksgiving week. I mean, it's like...
Awesome.
Pretty impressive.
All right, folks. We'll get those tickets. We're starting to tell you about shows and things to do this holiday season. And Santa Land is already on my list. I'm going here in just a couple of days.
I'm so excited. Yeah. Theater Wit till December 28th. Check it out. It's really fun. It's really fun this year. I'm having a really good time.
Theaterwit.org.
Theaterwit.org.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, it's great to, you know, have a show that actually comes out on World AIDS Day. And I was kind of looking up a statistic today of, you know, I just wanted some basic, like, facts, you know.
Right.
And over 35 million people living in the world live with HIV or AIDS, mm-hmm. which is a pretty stunning fact, right? I mean, it's pretty profound. And that 2.3 million of those live in North America or, you know, Europe.
Mm-hmm.
But really, the area most hit is the 24.5 million in sub-Saharan Africa.
Wow.
So that's pretty phenomenal when I think of the people that I know living with HIV AIDS and then to think of like how many people that is in an area of the world. They said that 19, I got this information from, it's a really great website, obviously. Now we have one. Now our government talks about HIV AIDS.
I remember having, just like for perspective for myself, I came out of the closet as a gay man in 1983.
Okay.
And in 1983, there was that first, I remember seeing something in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking, oh,
mm-hmm.
what am I entering into? So I came out right as the AIDS epidemic
mm-hmm.
exploded.
Yeah.
So I was one of those people who was like, is Ronald Reagan going to
say something? Yeah.
Is he going to say anything?
Mm-hmm. No.
No, the answer is no.
Yeah.
And it was shocking. It was shocking, and it still shocks me. It shocked us at the time, and I was a kid, and it seemed so far removed from anyone I knew because it seemed so urban, and it seemed so, in a weird way, sophisticated. You know, people who had some worldliness were involved in this thing.
And what did they call it at first? I mean, because at first they thought it was just a... They were saying it was just a with gay men.
A gay cancer.
A gay cancer. And then they gave it another name, and they finally landed on AIDS or autoimmune.
Well, it's interesting. It just seems so far. It seems so far away.
Well, I became sexual around. Gosh, now I'm going to date myself, but I became sexual sometime around the late '80s, going into the '90s.
You with know, someone like, in their late '80s, or
not an octogenarian?
Oh no, okay,
not
okay.
at all.
I just want to be. I want to just make sure you're being clear.
Yes, I mean Helen Mirren's like a couple of decades older than me, but not an octogenarian, not yet. Yeah, and I remember, and I think a lot of people can you know, many of the listeners here might remember too, that just, you know, coming of a sexual age for those of us who really didn't know a sexual world without
yes, that's HIV what I'm saying. AIDS.
And you and I are both in that. Mm-hmm. You know, we are that first generation of people.
Adult sexuality first, anyway.
Adult you know, sexuality. Yeah. That's what I mean. Whereas nowadays, of course, it's a given. I mean,
it's a very interesting thing because I have so many young people in my life, and I kind of want to say this as an HIV positive person. One of the things that disturbs me is this. Several things. One of the things is this discussion about PrEP, right? Which is the sort of like prophylaxis of for HIV.
You do it preventatively. Right,
you take it daily if you're negative to stay negative, and it has proven to be very, very effective. And there's a lot of people who say that it's simply just going to create irresponsibility. Well, I have a problem with that. Because if we want to talk about irresponsibility, when it was a death sentence, no question about it, people were still irresponsible. If we want to use that word, if we want to like blame a person for getting a disease. So that is not going to change. It's not going to get any more or less because there is something that could possibly stop the process of this disease. And so the shaming of people, like a lot of people, Zachary Quinto sort of became controversial for saying it. Larry Kramer became controversial for saying it, that it's simply just going to allow gay men free reign to be sluts, basically. And that sort of slut shaming harkens back to the fears we had when it first came up, and then when I was infected in 1996. And I would hardly consider myself a slut. And so the idea that somehow I would have been better off
not having it.
When I think if there's a way to up your odds of not getting infected, especially since an overwhelming number of the cases of people who are getting newly infected with HIV are people who are getting it from other people who don't even know that they're positive because they're not getting tested. So,
well, that's it. That's the statistic. So 19 million out of 35 million don't know they're living with HIV AIDS.
And that's the problem. Not that there's a new drug that may or may not allow some people to be more promiscuous.
Right.
The issue is that people are still not getting tested. There is a pervasive thought that because it's a disease, if you are fortunate to live in a first world country and you are fortunate enough to be able to get medication, as I am, that is it is a manageable disease at this point, right? That statistics show that people living with HIV now who are currently undetectable will live as long as their life expectancy would have been without this, which is amazing, right? But that's someone who's lucky enough to have medication, lucky enough to have access to healthcare, lucky enough to live in a culture where there's no shame in going to get tested. All of those things, that's the issue. Not that there's a drug that may or may not prevent the odds of you getting this disease.
Well, and the interesting thing, though, is that how do you give PrEP drugs to people in sub-Saharan Africa?
Well, that's
the
point.
Problem. The problem is that
people don't even have the drugs to if you are HIV positive to stop the replication of the virus.
That's right.
Never mind to stop it before it gets there. Although, wouldn't that be great?
Right. I mean, it's just, it's so shocking today that we still don't have a cure, you know, that we still don't have a vaccine, that we still don't have a cure. And I think that many people are thinking that Truvada or these PrEP drugs, right. you know, that this is on its way to some sort of vaccination, you know, from HIV
and
AIDS.
It may be.
And it may be on the way there.
But the point is what it's doing is, for people who don't understand, and I know a lot of people do, and this is my very simplistic understanding of it, it does similar to what the medication I take does, which is it stops the virus from being able to replicate, right? Mm-hmm. And so, for example, one of the reasons why the new cases of infection have to do with people who don't know, because they're not on medication. Mm. They've yet to find someone who's actually undetectable who has passed the virus on to someone else. Hmm. Right? So that means that, and it's the same drugs, right? It's right. stopping the replication of this virus, so it can't replicate in your body, right? So if it enters your body, it kills it before it has a chance. If you're already HIV positive, it stops it from replicating, which is why one would be officially it's officially undetectable mm-hmm. in your body.
Okay.
So the people, for example, I will talk to young people and they will say, when I ask them about this stuff, they will talk about meeting someone who's HIV positive and saying, well, I can't date them or I can't sleep with them because they're HIV positive. And I say, well, when you're talking about meetings, when you mean dating, you're talking about hookups and across the spectrum, I try to explain the only person you can actually trust
is somebody who says they
who's
have.
Someone who says that they are HIV positive. Because if someone tells you they're negative, how do you know? Are you making your choices based on what someone tells you?
Mm-hmm.
And also the idea that, like, the person who's honest, who knows that they're HIV positive, who is often, I'm not making a blanket statement, but I can speak for myself and the people that I know, are very educated about the ways in which this virus is or not passed, and therefore being able to keep our partners safe mm-hmm. becomes tantamount. Because when you know that you're positive, the idea of passing it on to someone that you care about enough to be intimate with is horrifying,
mm-hmm.
right? And so taking care of yourself, taking your drugs, staying healthy, informing your partners, all of that stuff is so much more important than the argument about whether or not this drug helps prevent it.
Mm-hmm.
That's more important. Get tested, people.
Yeah.
Find out. Know. Be honest. Don't simply just believe someone because you're on Grindr and you say, I'm neg, how about you? And somebody says, yeah, me too. How do you know?
Mm-hmm.
You still have to be safe. You still have to have this conversation. You still have to be careful. All of those things. Mm-hmm. But know that a person who is HIV positive mm-hmm. and is honest about it and is on medication and is truly undetectable
mm-hmm.
is truly statistically less of a threat. I'm not saying to be promiscuous.
Sure, sure.
I'm just saying statistically is less of a threat than the 19 million people that you just quoted who don't even know they have it.
Right.
And therefore, they're not undetectable.
Right.
They're passing it on. And they're saying they're negative when you answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my real concern on this AIDS Day, is that not that the new generation is callous towards it, because of course they are. They didn't experience. They don't
right.
know what it's like. Of course they are. It is our job to gently educate them, not to slam them for being, ignorant, self-centered mm-hmm. millennials. Our job is to educate them. So of course they don't know what that's about. So, but let's talk about it with what they understand. I can hear very callous jokes from a younger generation about AIDS and that sort of thing, because it seems so in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it does feel even more so if you are
mm-hmm.
privileged enough to have a first world doctor
mm-hmm.
and medication and access to insurance and access to all of those things, constant health care.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are sane enough and educated enough to know that, like, sticking to the regimen of daily drug taking, all of those things, if you're even capable of doing that,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a very privileged place to be. And when mm-hmm. people talk about whether or not Truvada is the issue, it seems to be a very privileged place of I would say check your privilege on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Zachary Quinto's had to apologize, which he has, and
I don't disagree. And exactly, and I don't disagree with the content of what he's saying.
That's right. It's a complicated thing. It is. It's like, why are we trying to prevent something? Why are we not? But we have been trying to do education. We've been trying to do a lot of things. And then, you know, it is preps, you know, can be seen, as you're saying, like, you know, it's a choice of privilege. And the people who can afford it, who can get it, who have the kind of life that they can daily adhere to it, you know. Right. I mean, there's just so much that goes into it. It's not a solution yet, but, you know, we're looking for
as many.
But it can
help. I'm pro-prep.
Anything that we can help. Anything.
If it helps, and it's seemingly helping, it's like right now, as far as the studies go, it's 99% safe.
It's not a prophylactic, though, right? So it doesn't help you pass it on. It just helps you... well, I guess if you're on it, you don't have...
I mean, prophylaxis, basically prophylaxis
means on it, you're negative, right? Or you can be on it and you can be positive, no, too, so that you don't...
No, if you're positive, then you're taking antiretrovirals to make yourself undetectable so you can't pass it on. It's the same sort of theory. It's the same sort of... It's the same family of medications. Mm-hmm. Not the same medications, but if you're negative, you're taking a specific drug in a specific way, in a specific regimen to... have that medicine in your body fighting against any
of any that virus in that your comes body. Into your body.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, we're going to be talking a lot about reflections of the past and looking forward with, you know, all the people in the world living with HIV and AIDS.
And the people we've lost.
And the people that we've lost. So we're going to go on and tell you what's going on in the LGBT news and theater. And Mitchell Fain back with me today on World AIDS Day.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
The 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals declined to stay a district court ruling that struck down South Carolina's same-sex marriage ban. South Carolina is now the 34th state to allow same-sex marriage.
U.S. District Court Judge Brian Morris in Great Falls ruled in favor of 4 Montana same-sex couples suing for the right to marry. Morris ruled that Montana's constitutional amendment limiting marriage to between a man and a woman violates the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution.
Terrence Bean, age 66, a major Democratic donor and celebrated gay rights activist, was indicted on 2 felony charges of sodomy and a misdemeanor count of sexual abuse by a grand jury and arrested in Oregon. The charges relate to an alleged encounter Bean and his ex-boyfriend had with a 15-year-old boy in Oregon last year.
The plaintiffs in a federal lawsuit challenging Louisiana's ban on same-sex marriage filed a petition asking the Supreme Court to hear their appeal. U.S. District Court Judge Martin Feldman upheld a state's ban in a ruling in September, which went against a string of court victories across the nation for LGBT activists.
A record 366 businesses earned the HRC Corporate Equality Index's top score of 100% this year. Also, one-third of Fortune 500 companies now offer trans-inclusive health care, up from zero in 2002 when the index was first published.
A Virginia teen who was brutally beaten and left with a traumatic brain injury following a school melee in September was found guilty on one count of simple assault. The 14-year-old, a former student at Highland Springs High School in Henrico, was charged with 2 counts of assault but said it was bullying that started it all. The teen, who was hospitalized for 9 days following the attack, was left with a traumatic brain injury and now faces a long medical road ahead.
On Rikers Island, trans female inmates who have not undergone genital surgery will now have the option of not being housed with the general population of men, but to be detained in a new transgender unit opening this week in the New York City jail's oldest building.
A Miami television station aired Republican Congresswoman Ileana Rose Latinen's first interview with her transgender son. Rodrigo Latinen spoke at length about his decision to tell his parents in 2007 that he is trans. Rodrigo, whose birth name is Amanda, came out as gay while in high school. As parents, we wanted to make sure that Rigo understood that we're totally fine with it and that we wanted to make sure that he was safe, said Rose Latinen. We know Rigo is as our child, whether it's Amanda or now as Rodrigo. He's our son. We're proud of him.
Tina Hillman, who hurls the shot put for Iowa State University, came out as pansexual. The 6'2" Hillman is the defending NCAA champion in shot put, both indoor and outdoor.
In world news, MetLife Incorporated's support for gay rights in the United States is drawing criticism to the insurer's partner in Malaysia. A group in the nation called for a boycott, citing MetLife's recognition as among the best places to work for LGBT individuals. MetLife, the largest U.S. life insurer, reached a $249 million deal to expand in the country where Islam is the most practiced religion.
The president of Gambia has signed a bill into law that calls for life imprisonment for some homosexual acts, making Gambia the latest African country to codify harsh penalties for the gay community.
The United States Senate confirmed an openly gay Foreign Service officer to become U.S. ambassador to Vietnam. Ted Osius was confirmed by voice vote as part of a group of four ambassadorial nominees. Osius is the 7th openly gay person nominated by Obama to serve as a U.S. ambassador.
Officials in a Polish town have opposed a proposition to name a playground after Winnie the Pooh due to the bear's unclear gender and immodest clothing. Voice recordings of the meeting were leaked to the media in which officials in the town of Tuzin complain that Pooh Bear is immodestly dressed and also lacks a clear gender. One called the bear a hermaphrodite.
In entertainment news, Cher has canceled almost 30 dates on her Dress to Kill tour on doctor's orders. The 68-year-old singer was given medical advice that she needed more time to recover from an ongoing viral infection.
Michael Sam, the first openly gay man to be drafted by an NFL team, has been named one of GQ's Men of the Year. The former Cowboys practice squad member will appear on one of the 6 covers of the special annual issue.
The Queen Latifah show has been axed thanks to low ratings and high costs. Production will shut down at year's end. Original episodes will continue airing through March.
Fox has set the premiere date for the final season of Glee. The 13-episode, 11-week run kicks off with a 2-hour event Friday, January 9th. The series will conclude with a 2-hour finale on March 20th.
Thousands are backing a petition calling for the cancellation of the TLC series, 19 Kids and Counting, over the star's discriminatory sentiments against the LGBT community. A petition on change.org states that the show, starring conservative Baptists Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar and their children, should be axed because of the LGBT fear-mongering the family promotes.
Actor Chris Hemsworth has been named People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive. The Australian actor, age 31, takes over for singer, The Voice judge, Adam Levine, who had the title in 2013. Some people had expected Guardians of the Galaxy star Chris Pratt or Idris Elba or Neil Patrick Harris to take the crown.
Country music star Ty Herndon announced he is an out, proud, and happy gay man in an interview. The singer's career includes 17 Billboard hits over a span of nearly 2 decades. What mattered most, Living in the Moment and It Must Be Love are his 3 number one hits. Herndon stayed closeted because he feared public knowledge of his sexuality would have a negative impact on his career. Rumors surrounding Herndon's sexuality first surfaced in 1995 when an undercover male police officer alleged that the star exposed himself in a park.
And a second country singer, Billy Gilman, came out on the same day. In 2000, Gilman became the youngest singer ever to have a top 40 on Billboard's country singles chart, being just 12 years old when his debut single, One Voice, hit number 20.
Orange is the New Black star Taryn Manning was arrested for violating a restraining order and threatening to kill her ex-girlfriend. Manning, 35, was put in cuffs after her ex, Janine Heller, 32, told police the actress was stalking her through social media and was sending her text messages threatening to kill her. Heller also was arrested July 2nd for stalking Manning and again on September 2nd for violating a restraining order.
The 2014 National Book Awards last week included Jacqueline Woodson for the Young People's Literature Award. Woodson, whose work is filled with African-American themes, is an open lesbian. The award is one of the most prestigious accolades in American literature.
Hoping to boost a floundering box office, on December 9th, Sting is going to step into the leading role of the $15 million Broadway show, The Last Ship, for which he supplied the score.
Kathy Griffin will become the late Joan Rivers' successor on the TV show Fashion Police. Griffin will be joined by Melissa Rivers, Juliana Rancic, and Kelly Osbourne.
Diana Ross and Megan Trainor will mentor the finalists on the current season of The Voice, along with Colby Calais and Fall Out Boy's Patrick Stump. They join mentors Taylor Swift, Stevie Nicks, Alicia Keys, Gavin Rossdale, and Little Big Town.
Herringbone, the two-disc solo CD debut by Tony Award winner B.D. Wong, will be released on December 2nd. The unique concert album marks the recording premiere of his one-man off-Broadway musical. Openly gay Wong has appeared on Law & Order SVU, Oz, and will be in the fourth Jurassic Park movie, Jurassic World.
And Mike Nichols, the entertainment icon and husband of ABC News anchor Diane Sawyer, died suddenly at the age of 83. Nichols was born in Germany and came to the U.S. when his family escaped Nazi Germany. He began pursuing theater at the University of Chicago in the 1950s. Nichols, one of the few to win the EGOT, the Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony, directed Broadway and film hits such as The Graduate, The Birdcage, Death of the Salesman, Colonel Knowledge, and Working Girl. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, this is Jill Sobio, and you're listening to me on the Windy City Queercast. I'm proud to be on Queercast.
Culture Club, Culture Club, Culture Club. Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
weird,
innovative,
campy,
edgy,
original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of December 1st, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Steppenwolf Theater presents Broadway Bound, Airline Highway, a new play set in New Orleans about a ragtag collection of strippers, hustlers, and philosophers, a boisterous and moving ode to the outcast to make life a little more interesting. Heading to Broadway in the spring of 2015, see it first at Steppenwolf. Learn more at steppenwolf.org.
Chicago Shakespeare invites you to set sail on Shakespeare's miraculous odyssey, Pericles, filled with adventure, romance, wonder, and redemption. Hailed as one of North America's best classical performers by the Chicago Tribune, Stratford Festival actor Ben Carlson takes on the title role through January 18th. For tickets to Pericles, visit chicagoshakes.com.
On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the smash hit rock and roll musical Million Dollar Quartet. For tickets, visit MillionDollarQuartetLive.com, now playing at the Apollo Theater. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller, post a comment at WindyCityQueercast.com.
I saw you look in the mirror and adjust your hair. Smile and leave the room.
So, Mitchell, the theme this year from the government website, which is aids.gov, aids.gov, which is a really good website now, and it's very resourceful. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that in the past few years, you know, it's become very, you know, we're talking about the days where Ronald Reagan wouldn't say the word HIV AIDS, and now to see that there's this almost celebrity army of politicians and celebrities, you know, who are lending their voice, whether that's and corporations, whether that's, you know, all the presidents,
right.
Barack Obama.
And
you know, George W. Bush. And then you've got Bill Clinton doing all his work. And you have Bono and Nelson Mandela and the work he was doing before his passing. And, and
Elizabeth Taylor before her passing.
Elizabeth Taylor before her passing, and those I feel like people like Elizabeth Taylor and Nelson Mandela were doing this work before it became kind
Princess
of
Diana.
In Princess Diana, right before this became kind of the thing that it is now, where you know, and I'm not, I'm glad that anybody's coming to the party, so it's fantastic.
Yes, because it's still a problem,
right? It's fantastic that starting with Black Friday last week and through December, Apple is doing a big, you know, get red campaign, and the red campaign in general that many major corporations, retail organizations have been a part of to try to give portions of money. This time of year, but you know, to the cause. But it's good. It's good. We need almost. I feel grateful that there's this resurgence of. I don't want to say celebrity around it because it's not right, but just volume. You want some volume still right. turned
attention.
Up on this, and
attention must be paid.
And it's you know, it's been really, really cool. You know, the Apple campaign is that they're red for the holidays. The huge company has launched an unprecedented 2-week campaign. It's ending this week, and it was going on last week with its app store, its retail locations, online store. And I think that's so cool too. In the after, you know, the aftershock or not shock because we all knew, but the after. You know, here right after Tim Cook finally says, in case this is not clear, right. I didn't know that it wasn't, but in case this is not clear, I'm an openly gay man right. and I'm always have been. And, you know, this charity Red, you know, that was started by some of those people that I mentioned, you know, Bono and Nelson Mandela and Bill Clinton and others, you know, is a, you know, not quite 10 years old. So not quite a decade. But it is good. It is good to keep the volume up on this. And
for me, I wonder, this is where I feel like Zachary, to go back to Zachary Quinto, this is where I feel mm-hmm. like he missed the boat. Mm-hmm. He is a celebrity, and he's a celebrity for young people.
Yep.
And like I said, it's not that I disagree with what he's saying. I just think the conversation got focused in the wrong place.
Well, we also know that the conversation is not. We didn't hear this conversation.
Yes.
It is a written conversation, not a celebrity, have been quoted or somebody said an article.
I'm actually even talking about his response to being criticized.
Okay.
Even then, I feel like he's missing an opportunity to frame this conversation. I think it's extraordinary. We need to keep talking about it. When you say volume,
mm-hmm. yeah,
volume, literally loudness, we need to talk about it. So I'm grateful that there's even
yep.
conversation.
Yep.
But as opposed to having a conversation where he's like, guys, prep or no prep, get tested.
Yeah.
Get tested, get tested, get tested. That should be the message. And I remember there were several moments in the past in the history of this disease that were... whether it was Ryan White,
mm-hmm.
whether it was Princess Diana going into a hospital and holding and kissing a baby with AIDS, these moments where Doris Day standing next to Rock Hudson as he, mm-hmm. you know, these moments where
Magic Johnson
or Pedro from Real World passing away, these moments when things became very real,
mm-hmm.
and close, and so. Celebrity, mm-hmm. I'll use Princess Diana as an example because even as a kid, when she did that, it was an extraordinary global moment mm-hmm. with at the time, the most beloved, famous person on the planet
mm-hmm.
said, don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
This, you can't get it from kissing a child.
Mm-hmm.
And it made a difference. So if the conversation is about getting tested,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Quinto, make a difference
mm-hmm.
as opposed to stirring up a debate.
Mm-hmm.
I get that debate is unbelievably necessary and I'm grateful for it.
Mm-hmm.
I have no issues with that. My thing is we need that moment now. That mm-hmm. moment now, and I don't know who it is, it will come from somewhere,
mm-hmm.
who makes people, especially young people, understand
yeah.
that it's about getting tested.
Yeah.
It is not about taking it for granted. And so I feel like that was a missed moment.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, one of the things that their theme, you know, because every year they have a theme around World AIDS Day, and the theme this year is focus, partner, and achieve an AIDS-free generation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I feel like you know, what we are trying to do is have there be, like I said, a vaccine or something that creates an AIDS-free generation, that it's like polio, that it's like smallpox or whatever. You know, some of these things are coming back now because people are choosing not to vaccinate, but not polio, but things are coming back
right,
because people are not, people are scared of vaccinations now or, right, or whatever. But
right, whether it's rubella or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think that it is going to be important. You know, you talked earlier about you know, the people that we've lost, and I know on the show we've kind of talked about, you know, the first people we ever knew,
mm-hmm,
who were living with the disease or who passed away, and Alexander Billings, who's been a huge voice for HIV/AIDS here on our show,
yeah, and a survivor,
and you know,
she's not just a survivor, she's a thriver.
She is a thriver. I mean, like, what? I mean, it's been like 25 years or 20 years or 20
more,
something.
More than that, it's been almost 20 for me, and she outdates me.
Yeah, so at least 25. But, you know, in honor of World AIDS Day this week, Showtime is presenting a world premiere of a documentary chronicling the history of the NAMES Project Foundation's AIDS Memorial Quilt, and the documentary is called The Last One, and it'll be playing on Showtime throughout, but it premiered this week. It's a 70-minute documentary. It talks about the quilt's legacy and the present-day influence as an educational tool in the ongoing effort to raise awareness about the disease and the fight to end it. And they interview wonderful people like Cleve Jones, who his character was portrayed in Milk, mm-hmm, with Sean Penn, the story of Harvey Milk. He is the quilt founder. And then the woman, you know, because when I was coming out and sexually, you know, becoming a sexual adult, and HIV and AIDS was very, very close. And my first girlfriend, her brother was diagnosed within the first 6 months that we were dating, and died about a year later. And you know, we and other people in Memphis were making panels for the AIDS quilt. And, you know, it's amazing, you know, a big part of the HIV AIDS story, at least in the LGBT community, you know, in the United States, I can speak to that, is the lesbian population, you know, who stood up and took care of their brothers,
mm-hmm,
because so many gay men were being affected. Not literal brothers, but at times with my girlfriend, it was her literal brother. And so, you know, but even back then, even in the early 90s, to see how large it was and to know how large it is now. I mean, I actually don't even know how many panels it is today. But
yeah, it's too big to display.
Yeah, I mean, they've had it in the entire, in Washington, D.C., on the entire
mall.
It fills the mall. They've had enormous, I think it was like 10 years ago, they had enormous panels of it at Navy Pier, mm-hmm, and it filled one of the, you know, many of the huge exhibition halls, you know. But, you know, what an amazing piece of American craft and art and, mm-hmm, artistry, and, you know, it's like a moving, breathing, growing headstone or memorial or sculpture, or I mean, it's so many things.
We've even discussed, you know, like its legacy. We've even discussed on the show, I think, how and this is sort of a roundabout thing, but the idea that now, you know, there's an article in the New York Times last year about like younger gay men and older gay men and this new phenomenon, and I'm like, this is not a new phenomenon. This is the history of gay men, right?
Yeah,
and maybe gay women too, but specifically gay men. The difference,
well,
of course,
older women, yeah,
right?
So
the difference, of course, is that now we're in couple of things happen. We're in a period right now where economically, people are tracking our spending and dating habits in a way that they never did. They ignored us. We weren't visible. But now we're getting married, and blah. So who we're dating and what we're dating and whether or not we're Dustin Lance Black and Tom Daly and, you know, they're famous gay couples, and so there is a discussion. So that's happening, but it's coincided with enough time that this disease has been, in America, considered a manageable disease. Because when it first happened, people were dying. Mm-hmm. An entire generation mm-hmm. of gay men who couldn't be there to educate the next generation of gay men passed away. And then younger gay men, of course, were afraid of older gay men because they assumed right. that they had it.
Yep.
And they didn't. We didn't understand yet the, mm-hmm. The ways in which to stop. And we hadn't actually created the antiretrovirals. And,
right.
And then, now that time has passed,
right, three decades,
things are going back to the sort of like uh-huh. natural order of things. Mm-hmm. And part of it is because, sadly, and it's not because they're callow. It's because they're young. They don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They have forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of beautiful that they mm-hmm. didn't have to deal with that kind of pain mm-hmm.
and loss.
Watch it in loss and seeing their friends
funerals
die.
Funerals and sickness and
all of that. And I have to say to my, you know, I lost some friends and some mm-hmm. dear friends, but compared to a lot of people I know,
yeah,
not in the same numbers that a lot of my friends. Not
yeah.
that one life is that a more lives
no,
is
but
worth
absolutely.
More, but I was blessed in that way that I did not lose.
Yeah.
As many friends as some of the people that I know.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how, the ways in which time changing and the way we think about this disease is manifesting itself. People not getting tested anymore.
Mm-hmm.
People thinking that they can have unsafe sex because of
mm-hmm.
some perception that it's not going to happen to them, that it's mm-hmm. no longer... I mean, I know some young people who literally don't know how you get it or how you don't. So the progress in the medication has created a mm-hmm. lack of a lack of urgency and a lack of education. And I think that's what Mr. Quinto was talking about. And I would like that conversation to continue in a way that we see the way in which it has manifested itself in young gay people mm-hmm. and we just remind them. Mm-hmm. Not,
what
hey, you don't know what it was
what
like.
What would you want to remind them? Like if I said you have
that it
two
still,
minutes to
that
say...
That it simply still exists.
Okay, and then what do they do?
Get tested.
But
be
what
safe,
about... How do they be safe?
Be safe. Have safe sex. Use condoms. Go on PrEP. I think it's probably a great idea. Talk to your doctor if you're a person who mm-hmm. can tolerate that medication.
Mm-hmm.
Go on PrEP. Do whatever you can to prevent this. But also have open conversations about it. You know, don't ignore it because you don't want to think about it because it's something that, like, mm-hmm. you know, your gay uncle so-and-so dealt with
mm-hmm.
30 years ago. It's mm-hmm. still here. That's mm-hmm. all I want young people to know.
And that's why it's so important, you know, and I want to have some physicians on the show here pretty soon. In the new year, because it's a good time to like have your annual physical or,
yep.
you know, kind of start a new year. But, you know,
which I just did and I'm healthy as a horse.
Yay. But it's, I actually did it too last month before last, but, and I'm healthy as well, I think.
Yeah.
But I think it's so important that, LGBT people find physicians, that they can be so transparent with
mm-hmm.
and really open and honest with.
There's still shame surrounding it.
Oh, there's so much shame and not wanting to tell a certain doctor of your habits and all of that and or your sexuality. And it's super, super important. Even if you think I'm not having sex, it doesn't matter. You
right.
know,
right.
just having somebody know that about you and being able to... you know, give you information. So I think it's super, super important. Well, this is a conversation that is far too brief for the enormity of this day
yeah,
and of this week.
Just get tested, everyone. Just know what your status is so that you can
mm-hmm.
deal with it appropriately. That's what I would say. Know your status so you can deal with it appropriately.
Absolutely. And I think it's a wonderful day, too, just to remember and honor the people that we know, the people that we've lost, and the people around the world who, you know, are not as fortunate. Who are struggling and need governments and nations and
pharmaceutical
other people
companies.
And pharmaceutical companies to heed
I mean,
the call.
Do you know how much my medication would be per month if I didn't have insurance?
Mm-mm.
Are you ready?
Yep.
$2,500 a month for one pill a
wow.
day.
Wow. See, and that's the problem, too, but that's a whole other conversation. But
I mean, that's
a big problem.
Criminal. It cannot actually cost that much money for
unless they're finding some mushroom on top of a mountain peak and there's
unless it's a precious rare diamond.
That's right.
So that's a conversation that needs to be had too in a much bigger scale.
Well, we will continue the conversation. We'll see if we can find some healthcare professionals to come on the show. But I love you.
I love you too.
I am honoring you on this day.
Thank you.
And your life and your journey. And all my other brothers and sisters who are living with HIV and AIDS, go out and do your part. Yeah. Find the companies and people and organizations and groups that maybe you can make a donation to this month. One of the easiest things, because you know Mitchell and I are so involved in the arts and entertainment here in Chicago, and other towns have these as well. But during this season and time of year, season of concern, it's an organization that I served on their board and have done a lot with, and Mitchell has done a lot with as well as an actor and in his shows. During this holiday month, many theaters across the Chicagoland area will be carrying buckets and collecting dollars for HIV and AIDS after each show. So, you know, throw a 10, a 15, a 20, a buck, whatever you got, change in your pocket.
And if you come to see Santaland, I always do it, and it's just me, so we can have a chat.
That's right. Come and talk to Mitchell and throw some money in the bucket. And it's really such an important thing to do here in Chicago because Season of Concern gives direct aid to people living with HIV and AIDS. And what I mean by direct aid is that they pay for medication, they pay for housing, they help buy groceries, they help with transportation, they help with the things that help a person function and live a normal life. Not that there's anything wrong with other organizations, you know, locally or nationwide, but and they give money to certain organizations as well. So
a lot of the money goes towards direct care,
but all their money goes to direct care,
which I think is very special about this organization, even amongst the other organizations, which are incredibly worthwhile and worth looking into. We speak about Season of Concern as artists, as theater artists, which was created as a response, the theater community's response to this epidemic. And it's been around for 30 years. And one of the things I do like about it is how the money goes to direct care.
Its mission is so simple and so direct. And so, you know, when you drop a 5 or a 10 in that bucket or a 20 or more, that it's directly going to somebody to help them.
Yes.
Not going to bureaucracy or paper pushers or even scientists, you know, and that may be what you'd prefer to put your money to as well. But just know it always helps me to know during this holiday during the holiday season, during this time, we're going to be talking in our next show. You know, more about the holiday season because it's a mixed bag, right? It's like the best of times, the worst of times for many of us. And so it's just so nice to know that we can do something that just really directly impacts somebody immediately. And Season of Concern is that organization. So go to seasonofconcern.org. You can make your donation or go to a show and
pretty sure there'll be some money in the bucket.
Get a red ribbon. And honor this journey, honor this journey for so many people worldwide. And I hope you will check out that Showtime documentary. I'm getting ready to watch it tonight. So.
Awesome.
All right. Well, next week on our show, Megan Murphy, Big Red, is here. It's Big Red and the Boys, their holiday show, which is going to be the late night feature on top of Santa Land.
That's right. So dirty. Right after my show.
At Theater Wit. And Megan's going to come over. We're going to jam in the house a little bit.
Nice.
She's going to bring one of the boys, and we're going to talk about her show and the holiday season and get us in the mood just a little more. So that's something to look forward to. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.